and welcome to the Hear It podcast. I'm your host, Rebecca Roberts, and I'll be speaking with guests about the campaigns, insights and ideas to better engage youth audiences. I really hope you like it.
This episode, we welcome John Gilbert, Managing Director of Esky Media, the creative media and marketing agency that's ambitious about creating social change through its work. Esky have led numerous campaigns where engaging youth audiences has been part of the process, from tackling sexual harassment and violence in the Step Up campaign to sharing experiences online as part of the Got Your Back work they've done. More recently, the team have co-created an interactive drama series called Circle North, which we'll hear more about shortly. John, what an intro. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Tell us why you've been championing working closely with youth audiences in so many areas of your work.
If you're trying to influence a youth audience, then working with a youth audience is the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do from a moral perspective, but also on a practical perspective. I think if you're trying to get attention, if you're trying to get empathy, if you're trying to challenge attitudes, behaviours, then you need to work with the people who are living and breathing that existence every day. That's the obvious bit. The other thing is, I think that people talk about co-production a hell of a lot. As it's become almost a bit of a buzzword. Easy to say, harder to do. But when you do it and you do it together, what you come up with is always going to be better. And I think as people, we don't really like respond well when we feel like things are being done to us. And if you can capture that kind of sense that this is being done with young people, I believe your audience can tell the difference and will cut you a bit of slack if you ever do this to that, because you're trying to do it the right way.
Yeah, it's a really good point, actually, because I think it's really easy to say co-create, or it's an obvious one. Of course, you should be co-creating and listening to your audience, but it's so easy to just go, which one do you prefer, yes or no? And that's not really a creative process. So it is, like you said, easier said than done. How do you go about kind of creating and facilitating that creative process with different young people? And do you have any tips on how you get that right?
I think the frame of mind is really important, and how you kind of foster that aspect of trust, that everybody does have a voice. And you need to have that kind of psychological safety, because if as a media company, we're working with a group of young people, we've been parachuted in, they've never met us before, and we're there to pick their brains and then go off and create something shiny, then ultimately I think that people will be guarded and maybe not give them full self. Some people will, but if I were in that situation when I was a young person, if somebody like me came in and wanted to work with me, I would probably be quite suspicious. So it takes time. You've got to be patient with it. I think for us, a practical thing is to realise the trusted adult relationships that young people already have are really key, whether that's a youth worker or a social worker. Or we do a lot of work with young people who support, well, through the Youth Justice Service. So you can imagine there they can be harder to work with sometimes. So having somebody who's there and kind of vouched for you initially, and then once that trust is built and they realise that you are sincere and you are interested and you're respectful of them, and you expect respect in return, then you can kind of like right rough and going. Now, obviously, you can't really do a lot of that in one session. So for us, the practical thing is just be patient, realising that to do it properly, it will take time. I had to learn that. Some projects that I thought were going to take weeks have taken months, but it's been worth it, because for all the reasons I said earlier around that authenticity. And then you do create something quite special, because even though you can be a creative in media and marketing yourself, and having lots of experience in that, coming up with something truly innovative does take another perspective, and quite often that does come directly from young people.
Yeah, I'm always surprised, and I don't know if you find this, that even if you have like a really good idea for something, it's about understanding where that youth audience is with a subject, particularly with a difficult subject, because it's so easy to go, oh, this is going to be great, they're going to love this, and then you put like a few different ideas and concepts together and they go, oh no, that's something like my mum would say, or like that's something like that's really out of date. And I think things like slang and, you know, and to get beyond like what looks cool, like if I see one more, like we've done it in graffiti style, and you're like, God, hey. But it's just trying to not use your own preconceptions of youth, I think, on that.
Oh yeah, definitely. And it feels like such a long time ago. I mean, you mentioned there about like slang. Certainly if we're doing script writing, I will invite young people to say, I really want you to look out for the bits that look like it's been written by a 40-something bloke from Hull, and tell me what should and shouldn't be within that. And again, that, and it sounds a little bit twee, but that kind of that creating that safety that not you need to come across with some level of kind of specialism and authority, otherwise why would they want to work with you? But also that kind of willingness to admit that you're wrong and to be challenged, I think is really important.
How do you approach, so particularly you mentioned like the justice service there, and I know you don't work with police, facilitating that relationship for like on a client's behalf, like that must take quite a lot of time and thinking about how you build a dialogue.
Yeah, that's a really good question, that. So what we've been doing more of recently is, if you take the youth justice aspect of it, is pre-work that their workers deal with young people before we get involved. Wow. So rather than us starting from a completely blank sheet of paper, that they've got some ideas that they can share with us, rather than me coming along with some ideas and saying, what do you think? Because usually, despite the reputation of some young people, they'll just agree with you and go, yeah, that's great, and not have that kind of confidence to challenge you. If you're trying to build on their ideas and be respectful about that, then that does kind of work, seems to work a lot better. And I think, come back to your earlier question, I think this idea of co-creation, co-production, it isn't a one-off. It's unlikely that you would go in and run an hour session and create magic. It's something that needs to be done iteratively over time. And as you get become more comfortable with each other, that's where, as I say, that's where it gets stronger and stronger. And trying to tap into really what young people are, what excites them. You know what you want from a project process perspective, but if we're doing filmmaking, for example, it would be wrong of me to assume that everybody wants to act, or everybody wants to write, or everybody wants to do the soundtrack, or there'll be something that everybody contributes. And quite often it'll be something that I haven't thought about. It might be that they'll really zone in on what our character should be wearing, or where they should be going, or how they use their phone. And it's like, well, okay, let's use that and tap into their knowledge and interest, and then that again will make it more and more authentic with a level of details that might not seem that important to me, but if it's important to them, the chances are it's going to be important to our target audience.
So Circle North, let's chat about that. It's a really unique approach to RSE content, and you've done this with a range of services in mind. Tell us a bit more about like what you've done and why this approach.
Yeah, so Circle North is a drama series and learning platform that aims to help a generation of young people feel more in control and connected to the health and social issues that are most important to them. It's been several years in the thinking and about 18 months in the making for us to put together this six-part series and a platform that enables schools, youth groups to run sessions around sensitive issues. So we've got modules on domestic abuse, the risks around nudes and sexualized images, child criminal exploitation, online radicalization, sexual harassment, and weapons. So these are kind of like, yeah, they're tough and sensitive topics. But as you said, they've been made carefully with adult professionals, but also young people, as again, to actually show what it's really like and the different kind of psychological states that some of the characters might be in. But it's different from what we've done historically, which has been a lot of kind of one-off filmmaking projects with resources around that, is that we've got recurring characters and that young people start to have a relationship with the series itself. They want to see what's going to happen next. They learn with the characters. The young people themselves, we've got five recurring characters, they will challenge each other. They've all seen life through their own lens, as it's been created through their experiences. And so people will relate to different characters. And it's, we're still fairly early stages. We've got it in use in a few different areas. And we're just literally, by the time this podcast goes out, we'll have launched the full first season of this. And the signs are good. And for all of the reasons I've just said, it works well. But the other element to it, which I'll say very briefly, is that I think what is interest to people who work with young people is it is interactive in the sense that you can gather information about sentiments of young people around these issues. So you could, if you worked in a particular local authority area, you could draw comparisons between different parts of your area or different age groups and say, well, when this something might be start becoming an issue at year 9 or year 10 or year 8. So you can actually be a little bit more formed as part of your overall prevention strategy on the kind of issues I've mentioned.
And am I right in thinking that you could be like a school, college, or like service trying to tap into this? It's not, or youth group, it's not just for one audience, is it? It's for, or for young people, but different services kind of get involved.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it crosses over the work of NHS, of policing, of councils, of charities, and directly by the schools themselves. Yeah. Currently it's available as a pilot. You can go on, you can use and test this for 28 days. We are going to have to commercialize it because we've not been commissioned. This is something that I've wanted to do for a long time, and we're just waiting for the right time. And I'm very fortunate that off the back of the projects that we've worked on, that we've now got the team and we've got the contacts within filmmaking and the expertise of specialists around us to make sure that we haven't just done this on a whim, that we've done it properly.
So how do you approach taking on like a social issue campaign? So often campaigns can fall really short or even just be focused on almost like promoting the issue rather than the solution or the behaviour change. So what do you think some of the fundamentals are to get that right?
I think you've just got to be really aware of where you can actually make a difference. Sometimes you only kind of raise awareness as a campaign, and then that needs to then lead on to other learning opportunities, whether that's informal or informal. I'll give you an example of something that we've worked on fairly recently. We were asked to raise awareness, which we did give a bit of pushback on. Raise awareness is probably aiming a little lower than what we could do here. And it was around antisocial behaviour and attacks on buses. So in some particular areas of Hull, there had been a spate of people throwing rocks and bricks at passenger buses. Our approach would be, let's go and speak to young people who live on these areas to see why they think people are doing that, and whether they think it is a big deal, and what do they think the consequences of that are. And they will then tell you kind of where your opportunities may be. So you might come at this uninformed from the perspective saying, well, let's make a film about how devastating this is for the drivers of the buses, which some people will have empathy with. But actually what we found with the research is, whilst they were much more interested in how that might affect the passengers, and like an older person who they can relate to was like a grandparent or a baby who could be their little brother or sister, or the disruption and to people's lives on their estate. So what we did with this film and company resources called Thrown Away is we basically went into the ripple effect of incidents and how that affects people involved, including the perpetrator, which again some people told us was really important. So we're never going to change everything through a 10-minute clever video or 8-minute clever video, as I think it was in that case, but you can start those conversations. So I think that through a campaign, it's not just a lot of focus goes on the launch and a message. It's everything that comes after that, and how resources like that are used by schools, but used by PCSOs, used within the community, how you launch it within a community, how they feel actually they've got behind this and they had a voice as part of it. Yeah, it's an ongoing thing. You have to keep going and keep going.
Yeah, and I think awareness is fine as long as you've got an idea of how you would like work back from that. And ideally, you know, in a year's time, you'd run a totally different campaign because the conversation's moved on. So it's like, well, how do you understand where the conversation's at?
That's such a great point. And I think that's where a campaign brand almost becomes important. So we've run something called Not In Our Community now for 9 years. Now, when we started, it was a 5-month awareness raising project around child sexual exploitation. Imagine 9 years ago when it was in the news all of the time, around grooming gangs, and the public had a perception of that. But it wasn't really resonating with young people. There still wasn't a lot of awareness. Not that things have moved on from the way that us and a lot of other people have done, not just us, a lot of other people have done in that time. But it's evolved, and that's because Not In Our Community is trusted. We will keep it fresh, we will keep it innovative, we will bring in new forms of media, we'll use social media in different ways, we'll talk about different forms of grooming and exploitation as we have expanded that. And as you mentioned earlier on, it's quite resource intensive to launch something new every single time. If you've got something that is flexible and trusted, then it's just a smarter way of working.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So are there any books, podcasts, research papers that you'd recommend us taking a look about?
When you ask me this question, it makes me realise I don't read enough research reports. But I do read a lot of books and listen to a lot of podcasts. Again, linked to the theme we've been discussing, I would recommend The Science of Storytelling by Will Storr, which I don't know if it's been suggested before. But it kind of gets into... I mean, I've got to summarise the book in a few seconds now, but it will explain why, as humans, we are ingrained in us to enjoy stories, and how we learn through stories, and how our view of the world is shaped by those stories. If you're ever going to try and change somebody's behaviour, compelling them into a story where you can walk in somebody else's shoes is a very powerful way of doing that.
And what is the one stereotype about young people that you'd most like to throw in the bin?
I asked my son this. I said, I'm going to go on a podcast tomorrow and I'm going to be asked this question. I said, what do you think? He's 17. And he said that the stereotype that young people don't know what it's like to live in the real world.
That's a good one.
And it's a really good point, because people do actually say, you don't know what it's like to live in the real world. But they do, because they live in the real world.
And they've grown up.
As they experience it. So, yeah, it's a bit of a silly point, really, isn't it?
It's a great one. And also kind of just because you're older and maybe have different experiences, that experience they've got is just as valid. It's just different, you know, in terms of...
Yeah, absolutely. My one would have been this idea that young people are self-centred. Maybe I'm just really fortunate, but the young people that I work with are incredible. They're certainly a lot more accomplished and hardworking than I was as a young person. I'm regularly impressed with young people. And you can have a bit of a bleak outlook on life sometimes, but actually, I think, yeah, we're in good hands. It gives me a bit more optimism.
Thanks for listening to the Hear It podcast. If you like what you heard, please rate, review and subscribe, as it really helps others find us. You can also follow us on Twitter @Hear It Podcast or drop us a message by emailing info@threadandfable.com.